Okay, so Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 21. Of course, Matthew 7 comes after Matthew 5 and 6, and this is what we know as the teaching of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, as it's known. This is where Jesus is speaking about life in the kingdom of God, or life in the kingdom of heaven, what it looks like, what it feels like, in a sense, what it smells like. This is what it's about. And then right towards the end of this sermon, this talk on the mountain, this is what he says. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We thank God for what we've read, and as always, we pray that words that are for us just on a page in black ink may become for us, as we reflect on them and receive them, they might become for us the words of life. Well, I've been reflecting in these last couple of months of what I've called the upside down blessings of Jesus, because at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus goes up a hill or goes up a mountain and begins to teach about what the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of heaven is like, he begins with what we know as beatitudes or blessings. Now, I've said every week, I guess, that in the ancient world, people understood blessings. There were certain people that were considered in the ancient world to be blessed, and everybody would look up to them. Everybody would aspire to be like them, because they thought, we want to be blessed. We want to have enough money, have enough status, have enough significance in the world. We want to have enough power. We want to kind of be up there. So everybody looks up to us, and everybody says of us, wow, they must have been blessed by the many gods that are there. And that's what people generally would have thought. And so when Jesus talks about blessings, he's not inventing a new idea. And everybody goes, wow, what is this idea about blessings? Everybody understood. And yet, Jesus says some extraordinary things about who is blessed. Everybody would expect, if a teacher, if a wise rabbi or something, was talking about those who are blessed and how you could be blessed, there are certain things that people would expect. And they're the things I've already mentioned. But not just in this list of blessings, eight blessings that Jesus gives, but then through Matthew's Gospel 5, 6, 7, the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and then, of course, through the whole of the Gospel, and you could read on Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, John's Gospel. It's all unpacking what life in the kingdom of God is like, what it's like to live in a world, in a community where God is the King, and we live by his values and his rules. Now, what Jesus talks about in this Sermon on the Mount and then continues to do so, well, it's all centered around Jesus. That's why his teaching is so important. That's why everything Jesus does is part of his teaching. It's not just casual stuff, but we learn from his example. He talks a great deal about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, but he also talks a great deal about what we would regard as justice, the way things should be in the eyes of God. And I've summed it up in this way each week. He's talking about the values of the kingdom of God. He's saying, these are the things that really matter in the world. Whatever you've been taught by your parents or your education or the latest philosopher or whatever it is, these are the things that really matter. These are the things that are really important. These are the people who are really significant. And these are the people who have status. And what we discern as we read these blessings of Jesus is that he turns them upside down. And they really, when you understand them, it's turning everything on its head. And sometimes when we encounter the teaching of Jesus, it can be confusing because it's so different to the way we think naturally, but we are challenged by it. Well, these blessings, if we were to sum up these blessings, who are the blessed? Well, we're told that the blessed are the poor in spirit. They are the ones who are utterly bereft. They are the ones who have come to the end of their tether. They're the ones who have absolutely nothing. They are wrung dry. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And then he says, those who mourn, those who have suffered the loss of someone close to them. Not blessed are those who are living in a place of celebration and joy, but blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And how easy it is to look down on the meek, because that's where we see them, the meek. Humble, the lowly. And Jesus says, in God's way of viewing the world, yes, you've got the rich and the powerful, but in God's view, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble, in other words. Blessed are those who strive for justice. Those who strive for justice can sometimes be really annoying and irritating because we use this expression, don't we? That, you know, these people who strive for justice, they're the ones, they keep banging the same old drum, you know? They just keep banging it on and on and on. Oh, you know. We've heard it once, we've heard it a million times. They're going on about climate change. They're going on about equality. They're going on about, you know, financial irregularity and how things should be different. They're going on about the difference between the rich and the poor. They just keep going on and on and on. And Jesus says, blessed are they who strive for justice, who refuse to take no for an answer. In the kingdom of God, it's about justice. It's about seeing things that are wrong, that are unjust, and saying there is a better world. There is a better way of living. Blessed are those who strive and strive and strive for justice. Over the summer, I attended with my daughter Zoe and a number of other members of my family the Greenbelt Festival. You might be aware of the Greenbelt Festival and hearing the great thing about, I find, the Greenbelt Festival, a Christian music and arts festival, is that every time I go, I'm challenged by new perspectives and different perspectives. And one of the guys I heard give a seminar was talking about the striving for justice regarding financial inequality and poverty and so on. And I don't know if you remember this. I can't remember what it was called. But do you remember when people camped out in tents in front of St. Paul's Cathedral? Do you remember? What was that called? No, not Extinction. It wasn't that. No. Do you remember that? Yeah. Yeah. Can't remember what it was called. But loads of people, they camped out in front of St. Paul's because there was a great big, but it was on the edge of, or close to the Bank of England. And I mean, I traveled to the States during that particular time and I saw the same thing happening. I think it was in San Francisco and elsewhere. And this was an extraordinary movement of people who just said, do you know what? We've had enough. The world is as it is, but we believe there's a better world. And if we all band together and say enough is enough, then things perhaps will change. And the guy who was talking about this, who was very involved on the ground with that, told some really disturbing stories about how the authorities, about how the police, unfortunately, sent paid criminals, people fresh out of prison, to go and disturb the camp and stir up strife. Why? Because they were irritated by the people who were striving for justice. And it's tough to be those who stand up and say, the world shouldn't be like this. And you make a stand or you make a camp or whatever it is, and you say, things can be different. And while we may not like the tactics of Extinction Rebellion or Stop Oil or whatever it is, they have a point. They have a point. There's a better world. And they strive and strive for justice. And here's the thing. Jesus says, blessed are they. Blessed are those who strive for justice, who say there's a better world coming and we're going to fight for it now. And then Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Not blessed are those who take revenge, not those who have enough power to deal with their adversaries, deal with those who oppose them, deal with those they disagree with in a violent way and get rid of them. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus says. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And we might think of the pure in heart as those who are weak. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, peace, I've often said, the process that God, I believe, acts in the world is he acts always in love. God always acts in love. Whatever people say about God, God is love. God can't do anything except love. Everything God does is love. And we should recognize it. Yeah, I feel, experience love in the actions of God. And the trajectory of God's actions is always ultimately towards peace, wholeness, where everything is in its right place, where everyone lives together well, all of creation fits together well. And we're all at peace, not a forced peace, but a really positive, wholesome peace. But of course, between that love and that peace, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to undo what is wrong, to put right what has been undone. And that's the process of justice. And so it's not just saying we want peace, because we love peace, we like everything to be kind of nice and settled, because that's too easy. The tough thing is to be a peacemaker and to understand peace lies the other side of justice, when everything is right. Blessed, Jesus says, are the peacemakers. Not blessed are those who silence others to shut them up so we can have peace. But blessed are those who hear the disquiet, who hear the injustice and deal with it to bring about peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because of justice. Blessed are they. And these are all, in a way, if you said to me, Ed, these are all mad. In the world in which we live, these are mad. I'd go, yeah. But they're the words of Jesus. They're God's King speaking to us and saying, look, folks, this is the way that God's world would look if we let it. And we might say, all of these blessings, all of these images of the way the kingdom of God is, they're so far removed from the way things are. It's almost impossible. Last week, I put up this image just of the flower breaking through the tarmac. And I've seen this time and time again. And some more images, if they'll come up. I want to finish on this, because these images, it seems to me, and every time I walk down a pavement and I see, you know, pristine tarmac, and then there's a flower breaking through, or paving slabs have been perfectly laid some time ago, and one of them is now a trip hazard. Why? Because some little seed has got in there and has grown and pushed up that extraordinary weight. And it's an image for us of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven to say all we need to do or to be is to be seeds. Seeds of what is right. Seeds of love. Seeds of kindness. Seeds of mercy or peace. And just grow. Just be and grow. See that word, be. Just be there and grow. And we will break through the tarmac. We'll break through the opposition. We'll break through the difficulty and the challenge that there is. And the encouragement for us as we move just in just a few weeks into a new building and we encounter, I guess, many new people. Some people who will be from other churches who are just interested in what's happening. Some people, I guess, we'll encounter who have experienced church before but have been disillusioned for all sorts of reasons. And they may say, right, a new building, a new church in my neighbourhood, I want to give it another go. And then there'll be a whole stack of people who have had nothing to do with church and they're just fascinated by this. And as we encounter them, what do we have to do? And we might think the message of the kingdom of God is so counter what people consider normal that it will never be received. People will just think we're mad. All we have to do and be are small seeds. Seeds of love and kindness and mercy and peace and grace, generosity and welcome. And what we find is that by the goodness of God, us as seeds, we just grow and we break through and people see the beauty of what is growing. And may we know God's goodness, God's grace, God's kindness as we simply seek to be those seeds that grow the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you that you revealed yourself in Jesus. Father, thank you that if we want to know what you are like, all we need to do is look at Jesus. And we see in Jesus not just somebody who talked, but somebody who lived a life of compassion and kindness, a life committed to justice and love, a life and a teaching that reminded us that things can be different. And Father, we pray for your encouragement, your deep encouragement, a reminder to be seeds, simple, plain and straightforward, but to be seeds of the kingdom, a kingdom of love and mercy, justice and generosity, seeds that reveal the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, fill each one of us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.